question in my mind, and the thought is, am I any farther January 1st, 2017 than I was in 2016, January 1st? Have I learned anything? Have I grown? Have I drawn closer to the Lord, which is what I'm really wanting to do with my life? I can say in my own behalf, if I haven't grown and if I haven't gotten any closer to the Lord than I was the year before, it wasn't His fault. He has been faithful to send some pretty heavy trials my way this past year. We all go through those things in life, don't we? Some very heavy things to deal with, things that never expected, things that have been very hard and difficult. But I can say with satisfaction of soul this morning that I am still happy in the Lord and endeavoring to live for Him, to be faithful to Him, to be faithful at my post of duty. I think that's of utmost importance to every one of us. To be faithful to what the Lord has called us to, what He requires of us. I'd like for us to look at a scripture in the 11th chapter of Ecclesiastes. I don't believe I've ever used this particular scripture before. So we need the Lord to bless us, as we always do. It's His Word. And we need Him to anoint it. Ecclesiastes 11:1 says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, and also to eight. For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. That the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years, and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity." There's a lot in these verses that I'd like to get, just to try to get a little bit of it out with the help of the Lord. In the very first verse, He tells us to cast our bread upon the water, for thou shalt find it after many days. Most and probably everyone in our world today struggles in one way or another with difficulties and trials and tests that come their way. People in the world and the people that are endeavoring to live for God. And the Lord here in His Word tells us to cast our breads upon the water. I want to just remind us this morning that, Lord, help us to have a benevolent heart, to have a kindness within us that we will always be looking to reach out to anyone and everyone that we can, that God puts in our way, that we will reach out and show them the love and the kindness, because they're hurting. People are hurting today. People are suffering sorrow and sadness and grief. And Lord, help you and I. I heard in the prayer a while ago about us being the city set on a hill, to be a light, to let our light shine. Lord, help us as we go about our daily lives that we will have a mind or a thought in our hearts that, Lord, there's others, not just me, but there's others that are in need. There's others that are struggling. There's others that are in trouble, don't know where to turn, don't know what to do, and they don't know you like maybe you do. You and I might know him. So they really need our mercy. They need our help. They need our encouragement. So may the Lord help us to learn how to cast our bread upon the waters. Now, life is uncertain. This scripture bears these things out. Life is uncertain every day that we're here. Man doesn't know what is on tomorrow. We don't know. We don't know what we're going to face tomorrow. But as there have been many that have reflected on just this past year, there have been a lot of souls that's gone out into eternity to meet God. Many that were famous. Some that were prominent. But you know, I wouldn't put any of them up against dear brother Parker Slifer, who was a man that loved the Lord and was faithful even unto death. And I appreciate those kinds of examples that we've had, and there's been many others. But I'm thankful for the people of God today, and I'm thankful for the church of God. I'm thankful for the Spirit of God that you and I can have dwelling within our hearts, that it could emanate out from within us and be a blessing to others in our life. Life is uncertain every day that we're here. You and I, especially us older ones, we've seen changes that we would have never imagined at best. It seems that with all the gadgets and all the inventions that man has come up with, man is just full of wisdom and full of knowledge. And yet, in reality, they're very, very ignorant of the true things that is required of a man. They're very ignorant of the things. It isn't this world. Although the world is just full of things, and it's full of people just seeking after the things of the world. Folks, that's not where it is it? But you and I have something. We seek after things of this world, and yet We forget and realize and don't realize the most important thing we have is the thing that we forsake, and that is our souls. And yet people go about doing it daily. The uncertainty of life in this scripture here that we've read this morning is, thou knowest not. Did you notice that? Did you pick that up? Let's look at that again. As verse 5, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. Folks, there's a lot of things that we'll never understand about God's creation here in this life. There's a lot of things that you and I may never understand. But one thing that we do know, he went on down to say, he said, remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. And all that cometh is vanity. There's many things that we can't comprehend of God's work. He said, you don't know the way of the Spirit. Jesus spoke to Nicodemus about the Spirit. He's talking about the wind blowing where it listeth, and you can't see where the wind blows. So's the Spirit. You can't see the Spirit with your natural eye, but you can discern it with a spiritual heart. You can discern the Spirit with spiritual understanding. You know where He is. You know how He's working. And you can see Him with your spiritual eyes. But yet there's still many things that are hidden from you and I today. And He said, how the bones grow in the womb of her that is with child. It's a wonder, isn't it? It's amazing how that such a thing develops in the womb of a woman. A little child begins to develop and grow. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, the Scripture says. But yet we really don't understand it all. We know that it happens. But how does bones begin to develop and grow inside this little bundle of flesh that is growing and developing inside the woman? We don't understand those things. He said, thou knowest not. Those things are really hidden from us. We can investigate it. We can search it and seek it out all we want. But folks, God is the one that handles those things. God is the one that controls those things. And He knows. And He understands. Although we can't contradict. Although we can't comprehend God's work. Or we can't predict the success that we'll have here in this life. None of us can predict that. He went on to say, in the morning, sow your seed. Verse 6. In the evening, withhold not your hand. You sow it. You put it out there. You do what you can do for the Lord. And then you submit it to God. You give it all to Him. You leave it into His control. And you let Him take what you do. And you let Him use it to the glory and honor of His name. That's why we're here, isn't it? To glorify and honor God. And He said, and in the evening withhold not your hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that. You know, I can go out and try to help someone. I can try to explain things to someone. I don't know who's going to get a hold of it. I don't know who's not going to get a hold of it. But Lord, help you and I to have wisdom and to have a benevolence of heart to reach out and do what we can while we're here. Our legacy. What is our legacy going to be when we leave here? My legacy is not going to be that He made millions. My legacy is not going to be that He was the CEO of some large company. It isn't going to be that He was the brightest person that I ever met. But folks, I want my legacy to be that He had the love of God in His heart. That's what I want my legacy to be. That He loved God. Because I think that's the most important thing of all that we can do here in this life. Is to love God. Jesus told us about that, didn't He? He said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love Him with everything that you've got. And why shouldn't we? Because, well, I really want to try to get across to us this morning is I want us to know and realize that we are trusting in the love of a holy God. Why shouldn't we love Him? He loved us. He went to the nth degree and gave His Son, and His Son gave His life, which we find to be so precious. Life is so precious to us, isn't it? Jesus gave His for each and every one of us. Can't comprehend God's hand and His work and everything that He does. But you and I are actively involved in life's activities. We're actively involved in our activities, and we must trust God for the results. Got to leave it to Him, folks. Sometimes I think we can overthink things. Sometimes I think, well, if I do this, then this will happen, or if I don't do that, that'll happen. Sometimes I think we need to just trust God, do what His will and purpose is for me, and just leave the rest of it to Him. Because truly, that's where the results come from. They come from Him. It isn't anything great that we say. It isn't anything great that we do. But the results come from God. And He encourages here you and I to enjoy life. If a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness. I believe we're encouraged to enjoy life when we can. When time and opportunity, chance comes our way, we are to enjoy life. The Bible tells the writer here in this book tells us to enjoy the wife of your youth. Enjoy things while you're young. Enjoy things while you can do it. I can speak from personal experience. Enjoy the activities, the physical activities that you can do when you're young, because when you get old, it's not going to be as easy as you think it is. It's going to be painful, especially when old Arthur comes in and takes up residence in your body. Not everybody has him, but I do. Enjoy your youth. Enjoy life when you can. Because I believe we've all lived long enough to know that calamity days are going to come. They're going to come, aren't they? And he says, this is all vanity. The hard days are going to come. The dark days are going to come. How does that scripture read over there? We have three score and 10 years. And if there be four score, it'll be through what?
By reason of strength
and sorrow. See, the Lord doesn't want us to get too comfortable here. We're sojourners here. We don't want to get focused too much on this life and on this world. God give us life to enjoy it. He give us opportunity and time to get what we can get out of this life, but never forgetting what our real purpose is, why we're really here. There's two reasons that comes to mind. We're here to glorify God. We're here to prepare our souls for an eternal existence. We're here to get ready to meet our God and our Lord and our Savior. The message the Lord gave us a while back, my soul is continually in my hands. We have that in our hands today. And may God help us to be cautioned never to get so caught up with life that we forget what our real purpose is. That we forget what the thing is that is very valuable to every one of us. And that is our souls. I want to look at the next chapter here. And beginning at verse 9. He said, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. I believe what he's saying here, he said, I have taught what is upright. I've taught what is true. I haven't been pessimistic about it. I haven't been cynical about it. I haven't been skeptical about it. I'm telling you what is true. But he said, the preacher sought to find out the acceptable words and that which was upright, even words of truth. That's what we're interested in this morning, is words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. From one shepherd means that what he is telling us today is from God. It's God's will. It's God's word to you and I. It's his word to the wise. Those that will listen, those that will accept, those that will understand, those that will take the time and the trouble to put into this that they may get out of an eternal life. They're given from one shepherd. And he said, and further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. God, he has an answer to every problem in life. I've gone down through many years now. And I'll have to say that I've run into things I just don't have the answers for. God hasn't maybe answered every problem of life, but his word commands you and I to do some things. To live joyfully and responsibly and to live wisely while we have time and opportunity in this life. By thee, son, he said, be admonished of making many books. There is no end. Much study, it is a weariness of the flesh. Folks, it's good for us, the Bible tells us, to study to show ourselves approved. But I want to say this morning that it is going to be your relationship and how that you perceive God and how that you are walking with God and how you are handling God and what God is doing with you That's what, it's not all the words and it's not all the books. I don't have to read all the books to know and understand what God requires of me. But I need to read the Word of God and I need His Holy Spirit, don't I? To reveal it unto me. He went on to say, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. Folks, I'm afraid that we're living in a day and age when there's not much of that done today. Where there's not much fear today. But he said this is the conclusion of the whole thing. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. What he's telling me here is that God, or the fear of God, should be the controlling factor of my entire life. That's what ought to really control me. That's what ought to really inspire me. That's what should govern me. The controlling factor of all of life should be the fear of God upon my heart. And I can testify to you this morning that in the past years of my life, years ago, when I went out into the world and did my thing out into the world away from God, it was the fear of God that brought me back. I never lost the fear and the respect of who God truly was. Never lost it. Don't ever lose it, because when you lose the fear of God, you'll do anything, you'll say anything, you'll do whatever you want to do. Just with wild abandon, with no respect and a fear of an Almighty God. We should be in submission to Him and in His relationship with us. Because the certainty, He says here, the certainty of divine judgment demands it, that we fear God and keep His commandments. God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We're not going to slip anything by Him, are we? We're not going to fool Him. We can fool some of the people. Sometimes we can fool them all, but for a little time. Sometimes we can just fool some of them. But what's the purpose of me endeavoring to live my life with the fear of God on my heart and try to fool Him? Because it's useless. It's a waste of energy, really, to try to fool God. Now I want to go over here to the New Testament, Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus teaching here when He was on the mount. 6th chapter of Matthew and 2 verses, 24 and 25. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and man. Mammon. It seems that you and I are not capable. We weren't built that way for you and I to love sin or the world and love God too. God demands our full attention, doesn't He? He demands our full respect. He demands the fear of God upon our hearts. And He said, no man can serve two masters, yet there are some folks today trying to do that. Have you ever been to the Grand Canyon? I've been there a few times. There was one particular time when my children were smaller that my oldest son and I took a little walk out of the picnic area and left the rest of my wife and the rest of the children there. And we walked through the grass and through the trees and we walked towards where the canyon was. And we actually walked right up to the very rim of the canyon. We actually walked up there and I had to keep a close eye on my son and myself too, because all you had to do was look down and you would see the long drop or the long fall. You could see the river down there. It's the Colorado, I believe. And it looked so small, maybe about that wide from where we were standing. Standing right on the precipice, right on the edge of the Grand Canyon. One little slip, one little trip, tripping on something in the ground, and you'd be down there. You'd fall to your death, no doubt. Folks, I want to say this morning that I'm very concerned about people in their walk with the Lord and how they endeavoring to live for the Lord. I see some today in my mind's eye standing right on the precipice, right on the edge. And the world is down there and God is up here and they look down and it looks so good and it looks so pretty. And it was a beautiful view that we had, the rocks red and yellow and all kinds of different colors that we saw, this huge canyon cut out of the ground, deep and wide. And it was very attractive, but I didn't want to fall into it. I didn't want to go down into it. And I had to be careful. I had to be watchful. And I had to watch over my son and be sure that we didn't trip or stumble and fall, because it surely would have been our death. And yet I wish today that God would help people to get that kind of a vision for their souls. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve two masters, he said. You're either going to hate the one or you're going to love the other. Folks, when you go and want to take the ways of the world and the things of the world, it'll suck the Spirit of God and the love of God right out of your heart. It'll do that. It's designed to do it. So Lord, help us today as we live life, as we put forth our bread and cast our bread upon the waters, when we look at another individual that we see them as a soul that's headed for eternity, asking God, what can I do to help them? Those that are struggling, and there's a lot of people struggling and a lot of people in trouble. But he went on to say, therefore I say unto you, now this is for us today, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Remember the scripture over there? Because thou knowest not. We don't know. We can try to grasp and get things in order and get things the way that we think that they ought to be. And we don't know the props that may be knocked out of that tomorrow, out from under that tomorrow. We don't know. Our world is so uncertain today. It's in such a shaky time that we don't know what our government's going to do. We don't know what our country's going to do. We don't know what the evil people are going to do. So it isn't that we can get everything in order and get our ducks all in a row, but it's that we put God first. Develop our love and our relationship. And I'm talking about saying, well, I know the Lord. I have a relationship with God. That's wonderful. But I want to ask you this morning, is it a working relationship? Does it work? Are you doing all the talking, or are you letting Him do a little talking too? Do you know all the answers, or are you looking to Him for the answers that you're going to need in this life? Folks, we need the Lord so desperately. Take no thought for your life. It's really, maybe what I do after service today, if I'm still breathing, I have the ability to go do what I want to do. But really, my life is really in God's hands. He gives life and breath and all things, Paul said. So he said, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? I don't know. It seems so hard today for people to understand and realize the seriousness or the gravity of eternity. Lord, help us in this year to come, that we'll put more into it You know, the more you put into it, the more you'll get out of it. The longer you spend on your knees, the longer you spend in the presence of the Lord, the more blessings you're going to receive to your soul. And I know life is busy, and I know there's a lot for some folks to do, and I realize that. Been there. Done a lot of that. But folks, I've learned in my old age, and I've hopefully learned even before then, that my soul is what is important. My soul is what is valuable. He said here, take no thought for your life. That's like Solomon saying, thou knowest not. We don't know what life has before us. Believe me, I would have never dreamed. I've been reflecting lately about some things in my life. Foolish mistakes, foolish choices that I made in my life. I'm paying for it. Be not deceived. I was reading that scripture the other day. The Lord spoke to me. There it is for you, bud. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I know a little bit about that. I've experienced it. I understand what he's saying. Do you know, if we're not careful, we can spend a lot of our time or our life worrying about things that we really don't even have any control over. You don't have control over your wife or your husband. You might think you do, but you don't. They have a free will. They have the ability to make their choices in life. If we're not careful, we can spend our life worrying about things that we really have no control over. And there's one thing that I do have control over right now, and that's my soul. And how I handle my soul and how I handle my relationship with God. Jesus is telling us what we wear, what we eat, what we drink. Leave it to Him. Leave it all to Him. He knows what we have need of, He said. And He knows, and He's well able and capable of providing that. He knows. We've got to be able to see Him this way, folks. If we can't see God that way, we're going to be so distressed and so stressed, the enemy's going to have his way with us if we're not careful. Don't take any thought of those things, because they're in God's hands. Submission to the Lord. The inner mental stability of a man must come from the spirit of a man. The Bible says there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. I want to say that again. The inner mental stability must come from the spirit of a man. It doesn't come from outward physical provisions that we have for this old body. Stability. Oh, there's a lot of unstable souls today. We live in an unstable world. And why is that? Because people are seeking after physical provisions, things to satisfy the flesh, things to exalt, things to lift up, things to bring wealth. But I want to say, if you want inner stability, it's going to come from God's Spirit dealing with your spirit, working with your spirit in order for us to be able to live a godly and a holy life here in this present world. To live in a state of worry is to live in perpetual insecurity. Would you agree with that? To live in a state of worrying is a state of perpetual insecurity. And it will deprive you of the spiritual blessings that God has for you. You know, God's got things for us that we've never tapped yet, every one of us. I know He has. But if we're worrying about life, if we're worrying about what we see out there, if we're worrying about our country and the conditions of all those things, it'll sap you. It'll rob you of the blessings that God has for you. You will feel so insecure, you'll even be dealing with what we heard about a week or couple weeks ago, fear. Fear will come and it will rob you of your peace and of your joy, won't it? Let's look at another scripture. Colossians. The third chapter. Let's look at this for a minute. If he be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You want to see where Christ is? He's sitting on the right hand of God, isn't he? We need to look up. We need to look up. See him high and lifted up, sitting on his throne of glory. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. That's good counsel. I've made enough mistakes to know that's real good counsel. To set my affections on the things above. Folks, not only have you and I been made free from sin, but we now have a new life. Set your affections on things above. We now have a new life, and we've left behind, hopefully, our old habits, our old ways, our old values that we once had. Hopefully we've got a new man reigning and dwelling within us. We've left the vices and all the interests and the things that was once sin to us. Jesus came and delivered us from those things. And we need to enjoy and rejoice in the things that God has given us through His Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul tells us in another place to lay aside every weight. We lay that aside, folks. How do we do that? Setting our affections somewhere else, on the things above, not on the things of this earth. It's not going to suffice for you when you come down to draw your last breath. The things of the earth will not matter. You'll leave it. You'll leave it all to go into the presence of God. Laying aside the weights and the sin. That thing that so easily draws us in. That same thing that the enemy can use that so easily can tempt you and I to go back into those places. Lord, help us. We are encouraged in this scripture to seek a deeper knowledge of Christ, a closer fellowship with Him. Isn't that what we want? For this new year, you know, I've looked back and I've thought of how the Lord has blessed me. He's blessed me many, many times. Yet, even through my trials and my disappointments and my heartaches and my grief, you know, I appreciate every moment that the Lord gives me, but I'm one that can say goodbye to 2016. Yes, it's pushed me. I feel like it's that I've made some progress between me and the Lord. I've seen the Lord's blessings upon what He calls me to do for Him. And I appreciate that. But folks, there have been some hard and difficult places for some of us to go through. As I was talking to one brother not all that long ago, I'm one for Paul that says forgetting those things that are behind. I want to hold on to the progress that I made. I want to hold on to that. But I'm looking for higher heights and deeper depths with the Lord. Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Folks, that makes a difference, doesn't it? When your life is hid with Christ in God. That means that I should be busy developing godly virtues. I should be busy spreading around more love. I should be busy being filled with more of the love of God. How is the love of God shed abroad in our hearts? By the Holy Ghost. I should be busy seeking the Holy Ghost. More of His, a greater measure. Greater power. Greater grace. An effective prayer life. That's what I ought to be seeking. Lord, help me to be seeking a more effective, not just praying, but an effective, the fervent, effectual prayer. James says, of a righteous man availeth much. Fruitfulness. I should be seeking to bear forth more fruit. I realize this morning that I am very responsible to be a fruit bearer for the Lord. I realize that. And our bodies get weary and our bodies get tired. The enemy is always ever present, coming along and trying to bring us down. But Lord, help us to set out this year to attaining a greater Christian maturity. Growth, development. That was Paul's burden for the churches. That was Paul's burden for the people. You see, Paul faced some hard and difficult things. He told them several times, you pray for me. He said, pray for me that I'll be able to face the things that I have to face, because it's all done to glorify God. But I've got to be faithful. I've got to be faithful to be in that place. I've got to be faithful to be beaten with stripes. I've got to be faithful to lay my life down. But I believe I might have mentioned it Wednesday night. I love his testimony, don't you? I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Folks, this faith that was once delivered to the saints wasn't given to the world. It wasn't given to governments, and it wasn't given to kings. But it was given to the saints. Let's protect it. Let's defend it. We've got to do it. When he says to set your mind or your affection on things above, that is not easy to do. There is so much, all hell comes against you and I to keep us from keeping our focus where it needs to be. To keep us from putting the proper priorities in order. Knowing what to put first. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together is New Testament teaching, isn't it? And yet we can look around for one reason or another and see folks forsaking that. And that's the devil loves that so much. Because right here is where we can be encouraged, be challenged, be blessed, and be in the presence of like-minded souls that have the same spirit, the same love in their hearts. Set your mind. That's your affections on things above. Set it on things above. You know, if we're endeavoring to live for the Lord, if we want to grow, if we want to be more like Christ, and I thought about that song as I was thinking of some of this. That old blind sister said, more like Christ every day. I want to be more like Christ And in the way I'm looking at myself, I got a long way to go. But I want to be more like Him. We don't need to be preoccupied with the things of this earth, folks. Don't be preoccupied with the things of this earth. We're sojourners here. We're pilgrims and strangers. We're here for a certain amount of time. Now, there are things that are not wrong in themselves. Houses, jobs, careers, ambitions. They're not wrong in themselves. But folks, they can become very wrong if we put them ahead of Christ. If we put anything ahead of Christ, we make that an image. We make that an idol. They can be very wrong. You can take anything and make wrong. For just about 2 or 3 minutes, I heard someone talking on the radio this morning before I turned it off when I got in the car. And they said, people can make a weapon out of anything. Said they can make a weapon out of water, and they can use it several different ways. They brought up something I thought was kind of interesting, talking about the thing that's being pushed today to have driverless or cars that drive themselves. And they said, can you imagine what a hacker can do with something like that? Never thought about that before. Do you know what? Can you imagine what a hacker can do with a drone system? Planes that fly themselves? Folks, I tell you what, you don't know what we're going to see before the Lord comes back. But evil is running rampant in the hearts and minds of men and women today. It's running rampant. You cannot pick up a newspaper without reading of someone being killed, raped, robbed, killing little babies, little children. Say the picture on the front page of this past week, man in his stripes standing before the magistrate said, I didn't mean to hurt her. A 2-month-old baby that was crying, so he shook her and killed her. Didn't mean to hurt her. Devil doesn't care how they do it, folks, just as long as he gets it done. He put a contract out on Jesus and it didn't work. But I want to tell you, we're living in evil days. It's important what we're doing. It's important what you're doing. You got to make it. You haven't made it yet. We have not made it yet. Folks, I don't know if you've been in those cloudy, dark places. Dark places where you've got to push your way through to see a little bit of light. But I've been there. And it isn't pleasant. And it's hard and it's difficult. And I've got to have something to fall back on. Just like Job, he had something to fall back on, didn't he? I look for you everywhere, Lord, and I can't find you. But you know the way that I take. That's basically the bottom line of what I'm trying to say here with all this morning. The Lord knows the way you take. The Lord knows where your heart is, where your affections are. He knows what's important in each and every one of our lives. He knows whether He's first or second or third place. But He won't accept anything but first place in our hearts, folks. We need to be careful of our priorities and be sure that we have them in place and keep them there in our relationship with God. Our life. You are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Our life's been given to Him, hasn't it? You know, another thing that people always talk about this time of year, getting rid of clutter. Have we picked up any excess baggage this past year? Got things cluttering our minds? Got things cluttering our lives, things that are hindering us, get rid of it. Take it to the Lord. Ask the Lord, tell the Lord, Lord, I've been a little slothful. Haven't been as careful as I ought to have been. Lord, I want you to take these things. I want to give them up. Because I want everything just right between you and me. I want our relationship to prosper. Christ, we see in his prayer, he had a very intimate relationship with his Father. The Lord is asking for an intimate relationship with you and I. But we're going to have to fight to get it, folks. I'm convinced of that. You might say, you look at some folks and you say, well, they're getting down to the end. I'm telling you what, they're still fighting. I'm here to testify this morning. I'm still fighting. And the enemy doesn't give up easy. He doesn't give up easy. So what do I do? I read his word and I get a hold of some thoughts like I mentioned this morning. And I realize how important my soul is. How important God is to me. He's important to me, folks. More important than any man or woman on this earth. Doesn't mean I don't love those that I should love. But it means God is more important. My soul is more important. I told them in California, I told them in Florida, there isn't anyone here that can keep me out of heaven. Only me. My soul's in my hands. You might mistreat me, but folks, it's the attitude that I take that I'm responsible for. It's the way that I handle you that I'm responsible for. It's a careful way, isn't it? I know it is. It's a careful way. We can say things a lot of times that really sound good and really encouraging and really uplifting. But folks, this is down there in the hard places of life. The things that you and I have to deal with. God wants us to be successful in those places too. But it's going to fall back on, Lord, you know the way that I take. Lord, this pain's more than I can bear. I had to tell the Lord that one time. Lord, it looks like that I'm going to die if this water keeps filling up in my chest. But I'm going to trust you. Live or die. You know the way that I take. We're going to have to be rooted and grounded and settled, folks. Have it settled in our hearts that we're going all the way. Heartaches, sorrows, losing loved ones. It happens to many, many people. We're going to have to be faithful. We're going to have to be true and steadfast for the sake of our souls and to glorify God. Pray for me that I'll be faithful.